So we're beginning the Aruch HaShulchan. This is in Yored Deah. And the Siman is Reish Mem Zayin, 247. I assume you gentlemen would prefer I translate than read every word in Hebrew and translate, right? Should just summarize the Hebrew. Okay. So Tzedakah is one of the pillars of the world. As it says in the beginning of Tractate Avot, the world stands on three things: Torah learning, Avodah, the service of Hashem, prayer, the service in the temple, Gmilut Chasadim, acts of kindness. Tzedakah is encompassed by the concept of Gmilut Chasadim. Gmilut Chasadim is bigger than Tzedakah. Our sages tell us that there are many reasons why Gmilut Chasadim is bigger, because you can do acts of kindness with your whole body. Tzedakah you do with your money. Gmilut Chasadim you could do with the living and the deceased. Tzedakah you only do with money, with the living. Gemilut Chasadim can be done to the wealthy and the poor. Tzedakah is only to the poor. So Gemilut Chasadim has many angles where it's bigger than Tzedakah. But nonetheless, Tzedakah comes under the heading of Gemilut Chasadim. And whoever's heart, whoever has the gates of their heart open to Tzedakah and Gemilut Chasadim, they have a great merit. Our sages said, maybe you'll tell yourself, whoever wants to withhold tzedakah can do that. Let me keep my own money. So that's why the verse says, "Mayakar chastecha Elokim." How great is your kindness, Hashem? We learn from Hashem's kindness. The pasuk tells us, "Bechesed veemet yechupar ravon." When a person does kindness and does the truth of Torah, that's how he gains atonement for his transgressions. A person might say, what's the big deal if I give a little bit of money to charity? What's my little donation going to do? Our sages said, Vailbash tzedakah kashiryon. One wears his tzedakah like armor. Their armor was built, you know how it was built, right? One little piece of metal on top of another piece. What's that called?
Chain mail.
So just like armor is built chain mail, where one little piece covers the next little piece, and together they unite and form a large armor, so to tzedakah, every little bit that you give ultimately combines, and you have a tremendous armor, you have a tremendous calculation of how much you've done in your lifetime. When a person gives tzedakah, it's as though he's given God alone. Our sages say, why does the verse say, Malveh Hashem Chonin Dal? He who has compassion over the poor, he's given God alone. Hashem says, I owe you. When you help the poor, you should know Hashem is, you've put Hashem into the situation where Hashem, so to speak, says, I owe you. Our sages say, when you give the poor a coin, so then a person gets six blessings. And if a person comforts the poor, he gets 11 blessings. And the Talmud goes through the verses of what blessings a person gets. When a person is in pursuit of charity, when he wants to do tzedakah, then he will find that Hashem makes money available to him. Hashem says he wants to do tzedakah, I'll make sure he can do it. And Hashem also gives him opportunities to do his charity with righteous people. One of the things that concern us is, am I really giving to someone who needs? So our sages said, if you pursue tzedakah, Hashem will make money available to you. If you pursue tzedakah, Hashem will make people available for you to give it to. And that's what the pasuk says, Rodef tzedakah v'chased, he who pursues charity and kindness, yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. He will find life, charity, and honor. I was pursuing charity, I'm going to find charity? Yeah. It's not so simple to find an honest, poor person to give to. And whoever is accustomed to giving charity is promised that he will have children who are wise, children who are wealthy, children who know the stories of Talmud. Our sages derive this from a pasuk. A person has to know that when Hashem gives him wealth, it's not his. When you die, you don't take it with you. Other people take your money. But if you give charity, if you do kindness, that's yours. You've taken something that no one can take away from you forever. That's the story it says about Munbaz, the king from the Hasmonean kings, that there were years of famine, and he took all the royal storage houses and he used it to help the poor. So people came to him and said, what's wrong with you? For generations the kings have been hoarding money, you're just giving it away? What's wrong with you? Munbaz said, for generations they've been hoarding money for next generations, and I took all that money for myself. For generations, they've been hoarding money and they have nothing to show for it. I took that money and I've accomplished something greater than money. I've accomplished lives. So the mitzvah, we have a mitzvah to give charity, to give tzedakah, in accordance with what a person can afford. And the person has to be very careful with this mitzvah, because we have the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. You know the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. His students were learning next to him. He was lying on bed covered with boils. His hands and feet were missing. And he was lying in bed and it looked like the house would cave in. So he said to his students, clear everyone out of the house. When you're done clearing everyone, clear me. So they cleared everyone and then they cleared him. And the second his body was out of the house came collapsing down. So the students said, you knew the house wouldn't collapse so long as you were in it. If you're so pious, so Rebbe, why are you lying here in bed in this dismal state? You're missing your hands, you're missing your feet, you're covered with boils. Why are you like that? So he told them, I'll tell you what happened. I was traveling. I had a caravan of camels with me. A poor man came to me and said, Rabbi, can you give me to eat? And I said, let me just unload the donkeys, I'll give you. I finished unloading the camels. I came back to the poor man and he had died. And I looked at him and I said, how terrible am I? How can it be? I took care of my camels before I took care of you. And so Nachum Ish Gamzu said that his hands that had not rushed to feed the man should be cut off. His feet that did not rush to feed the man should be cut off. And his body that did not rush to feed the man should be covered with boils. And all his curses came true. His hands ended up being cut off. His body was covered with boils. He said, I did it to myself because I was so upset with myself that I didn't take care of the poor person and he died. And from there we learn that charity you have to be careful with, that sometimes it can cost a life. So we will learn, there's a halacha that if a person asks you for food, you have to give it to them. You can't say, well, let me check out if he's honest or not. We will learn that as we go along. I've had numerous times where people said, I need food for my kids. And my answer is always, come with me, we'll go to the store right now and buy you food. And then they go, okay, my kids like this cereal and that cereal. And I go, no, I don't buy my kids that cereal. I'll buy you a loaf of bread. That'll feed your hungry kids. And the guy goes, never mind. Okay, I only had once, and all the times it happened to me that someone came with me and was happy to take a loaf or two of bread. Because the halacha says if someone asks you for food, you don't know. Maybe someone's dying of hunger in his house, so go get him food. But you don't have to go and get him expensive cereal. You get him a loaf of bread. So that's what I offer them. Coming back to here, we learned that from Nachum Ish Gamzu. Yeah.
Is that considered tzedakah, offering them?
We'll get there, slowly. We'll get there. The Torah gives us a commandment to give charity. The Torah gives us a prohibition to ignore the poor. The Torah says, "Lo ta'ametzet levavcha, don't harden your heart, ve'lo tikpotzet yadcha, and don't clench your hand from your brother the pauper. Rather, open and give them." Our sages say, when a person ignores those in need, he is considered that he doesn't have the yoke of heaven. He is considered like he worshipped an idol. And that's why the Torah warns us, don't let the lack of the yoke of heaven touch your heart. Don't look evilly upon your brother the pauper. So tzedakah testifies on us. When we give charity, it's a testimony that we're descendants of Avram, that we care. So this is all intro to tzedakah. You guys want to continue the intro, or you guys want to go straight to the halachot? Continue the intro? Yes? Okay. We got 4 more paragraphs. Our sages say Hashem, the throne of Israel will be reinstated through charity. The redemption will come through charity. Zion will be redeemed through charity. Our sages say tzedakah is greater than every sacrifice, because it says Hashem loves charity and justice more than all the sacrifices that can be offered. And when we do charity, when we are just, so then it says we make the world as though it's filled with Hashem's kindness. A person is promised that he will not grow poor from doing charity, assuming you do it in accordance with halacha. And nothing bad will happen through giving charity. The pasuk says, Vaya maseh hatzdaka shalom. Charity will bring about peace. and when people have mercy on the poor, Hashem says He will have mercy on him. A person has to pay attention that just as we turn to Hashem over and over again and ask Hashem to give us our needs, so when we ask Hashem to hear us when we cry, so too we should make sure to listen to others that cry. It says Hashem listens to the cry of the poor, and there's a special covenant with them. Hashem says, I will listen, I am merciful. So a person has to pay attention that he helps the poor. And we have a warning from Chazal. Money in Hebrew and in Aramaic has many names. And every name refers to one concept, that money goes around the world. Sometimes this one's on top and sometimes that one's on top. Or sages say it's a cycle in the world. And when a person gives charity, he should realize that if he won't need it in his lifetime, then his children, if not his children, his grandchildren, everyone reaches a point where they need it. It's encouragement to the poor, but it's also a warning to us that at the end of the day, everyone needs society at some point. So when we're helping that cycle of society continue the way it should. He said another interesting concept. There's a chidush of the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, if you go collecting for other people, so then if in heaven it was decreed that you or your child or your grandchild would have to go collecting for themselves, in heaven they're going to say he fulfilled that already. He got the shame. He went collecting. When we go collecting to help others, so then it abolishes any decree that someone from us or our progeny would have to go collecting. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. A person should say, might tell himself, how could I take the money I saved and give it to the poor? Don't say that, says the Aruch HaShulchan. You have to know it's not your money. The money was given to you as a responsibility to do with it the will of the one who gave it. I have a good friend who's very diligent about taking off his miser. He has an exact accounting of what he makes, and he takes off a tithe and he gives it to the poor. So one time, I spoke to him about someone who needed it, and he said, fine, we'll give him a loan. So I gave the guy a loan, and the guy didn't pay back the loan. So I spoke to him once, and I said, I hope you're not upset. The guy can't pay you back the loan. He said, I don't know if he could or can't pay me back the loan, but it's no skin off my nose. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's not my money. I said, really, whose money is it? He said, it's God's money. It's not my money. I took off a tithe, and I thought this guy could repay that money that was lent him. If he can't repay it, he didn't hurt me. It wasn't coming to my pocket. If he would have repaid it, I would have given it to someone else who's poor. He can't repay it. It stays by him. But me, he didn't affect me. He didn't affect the toast I'm going to eat tomorrow morning. I had my 10%. I took it off, and now he's affecting the poor. Whether he could or can't is between him and God.
So he gave a loan out of that 10%.
Correct. We're going to get there. Yeah.
Good question. Women who are sitting here go to the hotel, they are professional beggars.
We'll get there. We will cover it in Allah. We will get there. He won't talk about the hotel, but he'll talk about
it. They're rich too.
So Hashem says, I've given you responsibility, and I want you to take that responsibility and do good with it. And the Pasuk says, Ve'alach lefanecha tzidkecha, your righteousness goes before you in the world to come. And it's been tested that it's not only that a person doesn't lose by giving, on the contrary, a person benefits, and he finds his financial status to be better. The Pasuk says, Uvchanuni nabazot, Hashem says, you can test me. You give charity and you'll see that I will bless you. And our sages say that you're not allowed to test Hashem in anything other than that. But what you have to know, now the Aruch HaShulchan brings an opinion that people don't know, and you have to know this, that there is an opinion that says that's only true about tithing your grains. Meaning the Pasuk is discussing tithing your grains. When you harvest wheat and you take a tithe and you give it to the poor, there the Pasuk says it. What about charity? The Pasuk's not talking about that. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't agree with that. I think it goes on charity too. But you should know, not everyone agrees with that. I mean, there are two opinions about whether this goes on charity. So the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't accept all that. And he says, you can also see that there are many wealthy people that the more they give, the more wealthy they become. You'll tell me, but there are wealthy people who grow impoverished and they gave the way they should. He says, we don't know God's calculations. So, on the one end he's saying, you see wealthy people make money by giving money. On the other hand he says, yeah, not everyone. I don't know how to explain those that don't, right. Right, so that's not a proof. But he says, the general rule though, is that wealthy people who give don't lose by it. If you want to notice generally what happens, no. What you should know is that charity postpones, it delays any evil decrees against the person, and it causes a person to be saved from famine, as we know the story of the woman who gave Eliyahu to eat. He told her, give me and then take for yourself and your son, and you'll see your bread will last. So she gave him a little cake, and it caused her and her son to be able to last through the famine. We find Yisro in our parsha, right? He told his daughters, invite the man in and give him some bread. And so Yisro became blessed because he gave of his bread. And the exact opposite happened with Ammon and Moab, that they withheld their charity, and so we don't want them as a part of the Jewish people. I'm going to get to you in a second, Avraham. So I want to mention on this point something that people overlook. Purim's coming up, right? In 1 month it's Purim. So there are those people who don't get Mishlach Manos from anyone. And you don't feel like giving them. Well, maybe they're the ones that need to get Mishlach Manos. One of my kids once came home and said to us, you know, there's this kid in class who's a little strange. He's always asking other kids for food. So I asked my wife, what'd you tell the kid? So my wife said, I asked him, what's the story? Does the kid have a home? And it turns out this kid comes from a broken home. One day he's by his father, one day he's by his mother, and he never has decent food to bring to school. So my wife told this child, you know what? Whenever you take food to school, take a double portion. Bring some for the other kid. And try to give it to him before he asks. So he shouldn't have to be embarrassed and ask. One of the things we want to train our children is to give. An angle that people sometimes overlook is when you have yeshiva guys over. Yeshiva guys come back to yeshiva, they don't have a home that now they can take whatever they want to eat. So those who can afford it, buy extra food, and those who can't, whatever the yeshiva serves, that's what they eat, and then that's it. And I think that whenever guys used to come to our house when we lived in the neighborhood, at the end of the meal, we'd put together a care package. You like this kugel? Come, let's put together some. You like the fruits? Take some fruits with you. And we found also young couples. Very often when people are just starting out, they're tight. And if they went away for Shabbos meals, then they don't have too much when they come back home. If you put together a little care package, they take it back with them, it makes all the difference. You've taken your Achnasas Archim to a different level. I'm saying you guys right now are the yeshiva guys, but in not so long you're going to be the ones with the home. So remember it. And Bezrat Hashem, when you have guests, try to send them with care packages. Your wife has to be on board with this, right? If she tells you, you're giving away all my leftovers, now I'm going to have to bake from scratch, then that's not going to work. But if she appreciates the mitzvah in it, and she agrees with you, then it's a good idea. You're making someone's visit into something much bigger than just a visit. The care package you give. We once had a couple came to our house, I don't remember if it was Pesach or Sukkot, and I started filling a bag to send home with them. Young couple. And I once got an interesting lesson from a guest. We had a guest over who today is a Rosh Yeshiva, a Yeshiva. But then he was they were a young couple. And as I was serving him the food from the serving plate, so I said, would you like more? So he said, yes. And I gave him. Then I said, would you like more? And he said, yes. And then he said, that's not the way you treat a guest. I said, what do you mean? He said, you give and wait for me to say stop. Don't keep asking me, do I want more? Nice. He is so right. That's a Gemara. He's 100% right. The Gemara says that the job of the host is to give and let the guest say stop. Don't ask the guest, and the guest should have to continue saying, yes, I want more. I am so appreciative till today that he gave me over the head. Till today. So when I had that young couple over, I went in line with what this guest taught me. I kept putting into their bag, and they never said stop. I said, do you like these apples? Green apples or red apples? Either one. So I put in green apples, I put in red apples, and they're not saying stop. And I'm going from item to item. We ended up with like 2 or 3 grocery bags, and they were very thankful. They said thank you and went. And it taught me something. I said, wow, who knows in what a dismal state these guys are, that they were happy to take like a whole grocery shopping back home with them. Meaning, you don't think of that. But I just, you know, if they like, do you like green or red apples? Either one, okay? So we gave them both. It taught me something. I'm saying when you have guests over, it can be young couples, it can be guys learning in yeshiva. Very often it's a very big help. And I'll tell you, I'll end with one story. You know, we order pizza here Thursday night, which is what we're going to do in a second when we finish this siman, this chapter in the Aruch HaShulchan. Quite a number of years ago, there was a student here who would not show up to Thursday night learning. However, when the pizza would show up, he had an uncanny way of walking in, taking a slice, sitting down with all the guys for about 2 minutes, and then disappearing. And I noticed it, and I never believed I should say anything. And one time I called Rav Listman, and I said to him, Rabbi, look, this is what's happening. Should I say something? And Rav Listman said, everyone's holding in a different state, and at Machon Meir, we love everyone wherever they're holding. And if that's where he's holding, so at least he comes in for the pizza. Don't say anything. So I didn't say anything. And I totally forgot about it. A year passed, 2 years passed. I learned about the difficulties this guy went through, the abusive father he grew up with, all the different hardships he went through in life. And I saw this guy go from being skeptical about whether he'd be observant altogether, to being observant, to learning, to becoming a huge Talmud Chacham. And then years later, when I had already forgotten about the whole story, mamash, I didn't remember it. One day, we're talking in a sugya, and he goes to me, do you remember the pizzas on Thursday night? And I said, what do you mean remember? We still have pizza on Thursday night. So he says, no, do you remember how I used to get pizza Thursday night? I said, no. So he reminded me. He said, once upon a time, I was a young man in Machon Meir, and I used to sneak in, and I was sure you didn't see. I said, oh, now I remember. I did see. But Rav Listman told me not to say anything, and I didn't. So Chazal tell us, Yidola legima, how great is it when you give someone to eat and drink? Shemekarevet et arachokim. It helps people come close. You give them a good meal, you give them to eat. You don't say, hey, you want a pizza? You better show up to at least 45 minutes of learning. Don't just walk in, take a pizza, and walk out. No. Gedola legima. How great is it when you offer someone to eat and drink? Yisro came close in our parsha because he offered someone to eat and drink. Kir'en lo v'yochalachem. Call Moshe in. Maybe he'll eat some bread. For eternity, Yisro benefits. His children, his grandchildren, his descendants became the giants of Jewish history. The people in the high court. And so when we learn about tzedakah, one element of tzedakah is those people who you invite to your house who could use a little bit of extras when they leave. We're going to end this paragraph. When a person takes a vow and says he promises he'll never give tzedakah, his vow does not take hold. Because we have a mitzvah to give tzedakah, and a person cannot take a vow to annul a mitzvah. The Maharik writes the following. If a person passes away and you find in his diary that he designated money or certain instruments to charity and has not yet given it over, and you have no witnesses, So you don't know. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? The Ma'arik writes, the inheritors are responsible to fulfill what he wrote. And you don't say, hey, maybe he changed his mind, etc. That's what's written, fulfill what's written. We will see that with regards to tzedakah, the courts can force a person to give. As we will see later on, there is a responsibility for tzedakah. It's not just when you feel like it, do it. This was all intro. With this, we finished the first paragraph, Siman Resh Mem Zayin. And the next paragraph we will learn, the next section is, who's responsible, who's allowed to receive charity, who must give, and then we will lead into how much must we give, and then we will learn about who comes first. Do your relatives come first? Do the people who live in your neighborhood come first? Does supporting Jerusalem come first? We will learn about whether your tzedakah money can go to a yeshiva or must it go to the poor. We will learn about how much do you have to give each person. All of this is discussed in the laws of tzedakah, and that's in a nutshell the laws we will learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, in the coming weeks in the laws of tzedakah.